seated. As we are in part two this morning of in this series about callings and the evidence of your calling is the title. If you could throw our title up on the screen, that would be great, media. And you guys are doing a great job this morning. Evidence of your calling is what we're talking about. And this is part two of that that series that we're in. And because all of us are called, but sometimes we need evidence to know that I'm in my calling. Because as we've talked about, the calling is one of the most powerful things of your entire life. That's really why you are here. As a lot of us know, a couple of weeks ago, we were in a series about the anointing. And what I need to, if you can allow me, just do it briefly as I can, just recap for just a moment. That understanding, as last week we laid a foundation, that I need to make sure if you weren't here last week, you don't think we're still on the anointing. And we begin to understand, as we talked for 4 weeks on the anointing, the reason you have an anointing is to help you in what you're calling. Your anointing is to not only favor you, as we talked about, but the anointing is to help you in whatever God has called you to do in this life. Your calling, watch this, is more important than your anointing. But the anointing is important to help you in your calling. You would not have an anointing if you did not have a calling. And so understanding that, you know, I said this last week, people always say, what came first, the chicken or the egg, or however that goes. I need you to understand the calling came before everything. And when God saw that he called you, meaning he purposed you for something in this life, he said, listen, now I need to give them an anointing that's going to help them in their calling. So as we laid that foundation, I need you to understand that your anointing is different than your calling. And as I was working that series from the beginning, God says, as soon as you're done with this, I want you to touch back on teaching on callings. Because our calling is one of the things that we need to understand that is the most powerful thing in your entire life. Because the only reason you're sitting in your chair today is not because you're anointed, but because you're called. The calling gives you purpose on earth. Without the calling, there's no purpose for earth. And I know, let me just lay this again. Because we've got to understand, many people ask, why am I here? Why did God form you? Why did he put life into you? It's because he saw purpose for you in this earth. If God never saw purpose for you in this earth, you would not be here today. Your purpose is your calling. Your purpose is why you're in that chair. Your purpose is why you're still moving forward in life. And so we see Jeremiah 1:5. Let's put that thing up one more time. Jeremiah 1:5. Let me just lay this strong foundation and we'll get going. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation. What he was letting this young prophet know, he says, listen, before you got here, I already called you. I already had a purpose for your life before you had breath in your lungs. Before you were in the fetus was in the mother's womb, I already have purpose for you. I already had a calling for you. So many times we think, oh, God found a purpose for me somewhere in life. I need you to understand, before you got here, matter of fact, your purpose was permission for you to be living. What gave you permission to live is this thing called calling. Because remember, and let me be redundant if you were here last week, when God saw purpose, he said, before I put you in your mother's womb, I see purpose. I see calling. I see a need for you. And so he says, since I see a need, I'm calling somebody. And when he saw the calling, here's what he said. He says, now that I made this calling for your life, he says, now I need an earth body for the calling. So since he found calling, he says, I need to give somebody a body. And then that body is the reason you have calling. If you do not have a calling, you have no need for a body. One of the reasons why we are still here on this earth, watch this, is because you are called. This is one of the main, let me tell you this. It is significant that you understand the reason why you are still living today is because God sees purpose in your life. The moment you don't have purpose, God says, then why would I leave you on earth? Because the reason I gave you earth is because I saw purpose in your life. So if you no longer have purpose, then you might as well go home to glory. Stay with me. This is strong, but you got to catch this. Because people have just zoomed past their calling in life. They've zoomed past my purpose in life. But we've got to understand life is not just about living. It's about callings and it's about purpose. And the devil wants us to be anywhere and everywhere except in our purpose and in our calling. That's why there's a difference between the anointing and the calling. The Bible says in Romans 11, 29, let's put it up there, that we talked in the anointing series that you understood that your anointing can lift off you. Your anointing can come and it can go. But the Bible says for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. God says when I give you a calling, it'll never lift off your life. If I give you a calling, I'll never take it from your life. The anointing, if you were here during that series, we realized that anointing can come, it can go, it can lift, it may not come back, depending on certain things you had to be here in that series. But the calling is so powerful that God said, listen, when I give you a calling, I'll never take it back. Whatever I called you to do, you cannot mess up bad enough for me to pull the calling out of you. He says that calling will be in you until the day you go to heaven. God help me. Watch what he said. I like that word. It's irrevocable. He says, even I, God, can't pull it back now. And we realize that he gave us this calling before we ever got here. And this is why you've got to understand something. And I need to lay this again. If you were here last week, I let you know that this tells you how important and significant you are. Because remember, God says, give me Jeremiah 1:5 again. He says, before you were born, I was already working on you. And in case you missed this, I need you to catch this. Before you were born, he says, Jeremiah 1:5, please. Before you were born, he says, I was already putting detail into your life. And see, and I say this again because one of the things I've noticed with the body of Christ is we struggle with self-esteem. We struggle with depression. We just struggle with looking at ourselves, and we don't know who we are. One of my strongest callings is to get people to be able to look at themselves and know who they are in God's eyes. I've preached to enough people and ministered and counseled to enough people who walk in a room and they have no self-esteem. That, you know what that word self-esteem means? It means self-esteem, meaning you esteem yourself. God help me. We have been so social media driven that it's not about self-esteem, it's about people esteem. I don't need people esteem, I need self-esteem, and I can't determine self-esteem based off people esteem, because if people never esteem me high, I still need self to see me high. God help me. I need, and this is what he said, and if you don't catch anything else, just catch this and just see my moment on it all week. That God said, before you got here, I worked on you. That means God said you were so important to me before you were even had flesh or you came into your mother's womb. Watch what he said here. He said, I was in the basement of heaven, in the lab room of heaven, just working details out on your life. And church, I don't care if you're 60 or you're 6. You got to realize how important you are to God, because don't nobody work on something before it enters into the earth unless it is significant to God. He spent hours and moments on your life alone. God, help me. That's why I told you about Thanksgiving dinner. I told you every Thanksgiving is probably the most powerful meal of the year. And nobody, unless they are a horrible cook, prepares Thanksgiving on Thanksgiving Day. I've never seen somebody who's just started everything on Thanksgiving Day. Because if you do that, please never invite me to your house. I need you to put your foot up in that. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know if y'all understand that terminology, but I need you to put your big toe in that food right there. Meaning before I get to your house, I need to know you were preparing Thanksgiving for a few days. I need to know if you were making that potato, that sweet potato, that you just did something. You got some ingredients ready. Come on. That ham went into the oven on yesterday, and that turkey, and you were working on gravy. Don't just get store gravy. Make me some gravy, some homemade gravy. You got to, God, help me. I wish I had some cooks up in this thing. But the thing is, the reason why we do that days before is because that meal is so important. And that's what God is saying. He prepares the greatest before it ever gets here. And church, that should tell you how significant you are. That alone, when God understood he was working on you before you got here, every day you better jump out your bed and say, I'm a bad joker. That's why the scripture says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Because he didn't work on you when you got here. He was sitting in the lab of heaven saying, I'm going to make them this way. And I'm going to shape them that way. And I'm going to put this inside of them. You are built by the hand of God. And I don't care who you are, what you've been through. I need you to know God was working on you before. Somebody say, he was working on me before I got here. So last week we laid that foundation because that calling is so important to God. He was working it before you ever got to the earth. And as we begin to look at that, I gave us three things last week. Because what we got to understand is that's why you're here, is because he was working on that project called your life. And he says, now that I see a purpose in the land, I'm going to work on it, give it body, and bring them into the earth. And so just like fish are called to water, birds are called to air, you're called to your calling. A fish out of water will not survive. A bird out of the air will not thrive. A Christian out of their calling will not have success. You are called to work where you're called to be. And I told you, that's why some of us are so frustrated, is because when you don't have your purpose, you get frustrated in your spirit. Let me give you my 3 points and then we'll move forward. Three things I gave you last week, and I think it's important for you to understand, is that we looked at these three real quick last week to understand about your calling. Is that your purpose, your calling? Many times the church has told people, hey, go find your calling, and that is so wrong. We looked at three scriptures where I need you to understand, you are not to find your calling. Your calling will find you. Many times we start hunting, like, you know, it's almost like God put a big scavenger hunt. Like, find your calling. And we start running to buildings and churches and pastors and this, and I'm looking for my calling. And every time we looked at scripture, we found out that the calling found the people where they were at. When God says it's time for you to go, they didn't just stumble on it. God called each and every one of them. And I need to tell somebody, stop wasting your energy looking for your calling. The way that you get into your calling, we saw it last week, he found people who were busy. As long as you're serving God and busy for God, that activates the calling to come and get you. If you weren't here last week, get that. And the second point I gave us was this, is that the calling satisfies your spirit. Because remember, your calling came before you had flesh. The calling came before he gave you body. So that means your calling has nothing to do with the flesh. It has to do with your soul and your spirit. And it's almost as if when we are in this flesh, we are so unsatisfied with everything. And what we start looking at is our fleshly things. God, why am I so depressed? Why am I so unhappy? I have a wonderful marriage. I got beautiful children. I have a job, but you go home and all you can do is just sit, and you drive home and you're unhappy. You feel unquenched. You feel unsatisfied. You feel like nobody, but you got everything. And the reason why is because it's your spirit man that's looking for the calling. You cannot fulfill something in the spirit by doing something in the flesh. Because the calling came before flesh. And so now what we do, we feel dissatisfied. We try to satisfy something in the spirit by doing something in the natural. This is why I believe that so many people have become drug addicts, because they were depressed, they were unhappy. Every day they went through life and they just tried to find something that made them feel good. And what they were trying to do was walk in their calling, but they didn't know how to understand it, so they begin to make themselves feel good with the flesh. The reason why so many people have slept around is because they were lonely. They didn't feel satisfied, and they thought, if I sleep with him or sleep with her, it'll fulfill a desire in my life. But I came to tell somebody, you can sleep with 1,000 folk. You can get $1 billion tomorrow. But let me tell you, it'll never satisfy that inner man, because the only thing that inner man is looking for is to step into my calling and step into my purpose. And the moment you step into your purpose and the moment you step into your calling, oh, it's like, oh, I finally arrived. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I was built for. Let me tell you something, baby. I don't care if he's 6'6 with a six-pack. I don't care if she's fine with lips and hips and fingertips. Nothing can satisfy you but the calling of God on your life. Look at your neighbor and say, you might as well keep who you got because the next one ain't going to satisfy you. It's the calling you're looking for. Quit changing people out. Quit jumping in different beds. Quit changing jobs. Nothing can satisfy you but your calling. Don't touch your neighbor, but point at your neighbor and say, stick with your calling. You gotta stick with your calling. So we begin to understand. Put my points back up, please. We begin to understand. If you put my points back up, please. If you begin to understand that calling, it satisfies your spirit. And here's the other thing we talked about is that we also have multiple callings. He spent time on your life, and as you grow, your callings can change. Not that they change, you just evolve into the next calling. We saw this with Moses, and we'll look at that again a little bit today. But Moses was called to be a deliverer of God's people. And then we saw another scripture where he was not called to be a deliverer, but he was called to take them into a place. First, he was called to bring them out. Then it shifted, and he was supposed to bring them in. And this is what is so important to us, especially our Club 55 and our senior people, is that you ought to understand that just because you're no longer have the strength to do what you used to do, God still has a purpose for your life here on earth. Just because you're older, you're saying, well, I guess God is through with me. Let me tell every Club 55 and senior person in this room, if you got breath and you got heartbeat, there's a calling and a purpose for you on this earth. You just got to understand your calling may have shifted what it was in your 30s and your 50s. Now you're in your 60s and above. That calling has now changed, and you have got to understand that God, when he was building you, he understood that we're not as strong as we are when we're older than we used to be. So those callings can change, and this is why I need us to understand we cannot just let our Club 55, meaning our seasoned people in life, we cannot just let them go. We have got to stay encouraging them. We always talk about encouraging young people, but who's encouraging our seasoned people? Come on, somebody. Who's letting them know that, listen, there's still a lot of living to do. God is not through with you yet. You got to understand that God has put something great in you, and that's the reason why you are still here. Matter of fact, listen to me. If you're 60 and older, I just need you to stand. I hate to put you on blast because you probably think you look 40, but go ahead and stand for me. Go ahead. If you are sick, man, I didn't know you were 60 and older because you look young. Amen. Let me, come on. I need you to hear me. If you are, listen to me. I need to tell you this morning, God is not through with you. I need to speak right to each and every one of you to understand, I don't care how seasoned you are, there is something greater on your life. There's another level of calling that God is pulling you to. And I need you to understand, and every person sitting in their seat, we need to honor our seasoned saints because these are the people who used to pray for us. These are the people who used to tuck us in. These are the people who used to brush our teeth. These are the people that used to make sure you had what you had before we had all this technology. And I got to tell you, we got to thank God for our seasoned saints. And I pray over you right now, every seasoned person in here, you got more living to do. I declare that God is not done with your life. I declare that long life he shall satisfy you. I declare over every person standing that God is shifting and bringing you into your next calling in your life. If you believe that, give them a big round of applause. Oh, come on, do better than that. Amen. You can be seated. Y'all look young. Some of y'all, I don't know if you're telling the truth. The anointing will keep you. Amen. Because that's what somebody said, that's what the glory will do. Come on, somebody. See, and this is what we've got to understand, that the callings change. And I want to push forward this morning because I need you to understand that as we move forward in this calling, it is so important that we get this. Because the calling is so deep. Because if you really understand what Scripture says, is the reason why you're here, is breathing and living, is because of this thing calling. And many of us have never even thought about our calling. Only thing we thought about is, how do I pay my bill? What is my retirement going to be? How do I get a house? When you get in your calling will take care of you. And you don't start looking. You just keep living life, and that calling will find you. And the reason why God has me teaching this is because you need to understand that, yes, I have a calling, but as long as you understand that you also have that anointing, it's going to help you walk in your calling. Because God is, the way he's built you is he's built you special. Somebody say, I'm special. And one of the things about calling, the reason why I'm teaching this is because I believe every person, God is getting ready to try to bring you into that place. Where we begin, whether it's a teacher, lawyer, doctor, ministry, vocalist, singer, entertainer, whatever, he sat in heaven and said, I need this calling, because just like your anointing he needs in the world, he needs called people to be in the place they're in. Because when he gets his called people in the place, then they'll fulfill his purpose. And I don't know if you understand God's purpose in the earth. It is to redeem us and take back what the devil has stolen. So every time you walk in your calling, you should have a takeover spirit wherever you go. God help me. That's why we've seen in this year already multiple testimonies of people being promoted, because I believe God has called us to have a takeover spirit wherever we go. There's a takeover anointing on us, because when you get in your purpose, God needs people to begin to see that his, remember he said, I had a plan, I had a purpose, that when you get in there, you'll win souls in there. When you get in there, by the time you leave that place, it should be more glory in that place than it was when you leave the place. And what we got to understand is that many times, just because God calls you, you have to answer the call. Watch, you understand this right here. Seth Lowry, come here real quick. Come on up. Let me ask you a question. Why did you just come up here?
Because my pastor told me to.
Before I just called you, did I tell you I was going to call you?
No.
Did I freak you out a little bit? Because how many know when you're called, it'll scare you? Oh, God. He had no idea that he was about to be called. God help me. I just called, and guess what he did? I didn't make him come. He answered the call. He didn't know when it was. He didn't even know what was going to happen today. But I said, it's time for you to be here. God help me. And when he heard the call, it freaked him out. And that's what callings will do, is when God calls you, it'll freak you out. You, now, God? Right in front of, right now? I wasn't even prepared for this. God help me. But watch what he did anyway. Was he answered the call.
God help me.
I didn't. Because watch this right here. The reason why he answered the call, he said, because my pastor called me. And the reason why you answer your call is when God calls you, that's all you need. That's all your go-kart is. God called me. I got to go. God called me. What am I waiting on? God called me. I got to move right now. God, I didn't know you were calling now, but here I come, God. See, watch this right here. I appreciate you, man. God bless you. I know I probably scared him half to just. Because I need you to understand, although you're called, you got to respond to the call. Even though he worked on you in the lab room of heaven, you got to respond to the call. Because we act like just because he called us, it's going to happen. He will. If I call him on, listen, he'll give you opportunity, but you got to respond to the call. Giovanni, come here. Raise your hand, Giovanni, raise your hand. Where's that? Giovanni, I said, come here. Giovanni, can you please come here? Notice the difference? Now, he knew it. Yeah. I told him, don't come, just so you know. He was in on the illustration. The other one wasn't. Watch the difference. He chose to come. He chose not to come. They both were called. I did nothing different. I called both of them, but one responded. They heard the same voice, but only one came. Church, let me tell you something. Some of us are not responding, and God is calling. some of us are not responding, and he's been calling. And this is why you got to understand that when you're called, it is greater than anything on this earth. This is why you cannot be so distracted in life that you don't hear the call of God. And this is why the enemy will get you so busy, is that when he calls, you're like, what is that noise I'm hearing? It's because the Bible says, the Bible says, does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? What does it profit you to get everything, but you're so busy you're missing your calling? Because the devil will bless you. He will bless you to keep you out of what God has for you. He don't care about you driving, come on, a Benz. He don't care about that. He'll let you be, he'll promote you to keep you out of your calling. Because your calling is what to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. When you step in your purpose with your anointing, you'll destroy it. But if he gives you everything, keeps you busy, and keeps you away from the place God's called you to, then you have no power against the kingdom of darkness. I'm teaching this morning. And the one thing about it, I love this right here, is your calling will divinely protect you. Watch this right here. Go with me over to Exodus real quick. Exodus 3. Me to throw this up. I'm going to get where I'm going. I just feel a shift right now. Because your calling is greater than the coronavirus. Oh, God. Oh, God. This is good. Watch this right here. I'm out of it. This is not anywhere I was going. This is just a text from heaven. I just got a tweet. Watch this right here. Just a tweet from heaven. Watch this. Exodus 3:9. This is when he called Moses. Now, watch what Moses, I like this right here. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. Ah, this is good stuff. God says, I heard the cry of the people of God. That's why it's important you understand when something's going on, he hears the cry. And I believe when we prayed this morning, God heard the cry. I think he heard us in Surprise, Arizona this morning. I believe he heard the cry of his people in a problematic land. And when God, that makes me want to shout, to know that anytime I lift up and I begin to call on God, that his ear can hear me right here where I'm at. And I thank God I don't have a God who's deaf. Come on, that there's a God who's too busy. God says, I fearfully and wonderfully made you. And if those that I've called, those that I have chosen and called, when they call on me, I will respond to them. He says, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. God help me. And I have also seen their problem, the oppression which the Egyptian oppressed them. Verse 10, if you could put it up there. And he says, come now, therefore, and I will send you, talking to Moses, to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And we'll get back to this, but he's telling Moses, this is your calling. I called you that you may bring my people out of Egyptian bondage. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And that I should bring the children out of Israel, out of Egypt. Give me verse 12. Give me one more verse. So he said, I will certainly be with you. I like this. Moses said, hey, if I go to Pharaoh, I'm going to get killed. He's basically saying, who am I that I go? He says, what's my protection? What's my authority? Watch what God says. I'll be with you. Let me tell all God's called people something. He said, Moses, when you're walking in your calling, I'll be with you. When you walk in what I called you to do, don't you worry about anything. Don't worry about Pharaoh. Don't worry about a coronavirus. If I'm with you, it can't hurt you. God help me. He said, what's your protection? Moses says, what's my protection? He said, Moses, I will certainly be with you. He says, when you start walking in that cold place, I'm going to be with you. In that cold place, God help me. And this is what we need to understand. Your calling is bigger than any virus. Do you think when God spent all that time that he woke up like everybody else and he was like, where does this virus come from? He knew called people would have to deal with this. He knew called people there would be a coronavirus. And he built us and he said, I will keep you to perform what I called you to do. And he never called people to walk with a spirit of fear. He told called people, if I'm with you, don't even worry about it, because nothing can take you out of your calling when I'm walking with you. There's nothing man can create. There's nothing the devil can create, because when you're in your calling, God will keep you. Somebody shout hallelujah. God help me. This is how I look at it. I say to myself, I'm called. What am I worried about? I'm in my call. What am I worried about? Because I've got to fulfill my calling. And until I fulfill my calling, no virus, no devil, nothing can take me out. God will keep me. That's why it's significant to understand your calling. Your calling gives you diplomatic immunity. God help me. Your calling gives you diplomatic immunity. That means it gives you a covering in a place where you really don't belong. God. What other things people can have and they should have, God says, I give you diplomatic immunity. Meaning what should be, could be, won't be. Because you're mine. And Moses would say, hey, what is my safety net? What keeps me? He said, here it is, I'm with you. Because you're walking what I called you to do, don't worry about anything. And see, we should not of all people, why are we gripped with fear? We have got to, God let us know that I have not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You got to look that spirit which starts gripping you, and it starts talking to you, and you turn on the news, and toilet paper's going off the shelf, and everybody came by hand sanitizers in the entire globe, and we think doom and gloom. No, baby, take a stand. Grab your family by the hand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and I'm the called of God, and I am a chosen priesthood, and nothing shall come nigh me. Here, media, I'm sorry, I'm freestyling. I go to Psalms 91. This, I didn't give this to you, but I need you to get all of Psalms 91. I just feel this. It's not even, this is no, watch this right here. Because every child of God, Psalms 91, all of it. When you're in Psalms, listen to me. We've got to understand. Let me read this to you. Holy Spirit said, he just brought me here. Because when you're called, you got to understand that in the day and age we're living in the current affairs of our world, you better know who you are. And what you have in God. You are a chosen priesthood, he says. He spent time on you before you got here. And you got to begin to understand what you have in your God. Watch Psalms 91. I'm just going to read this thing. This is my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. Watch what it says here. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. God. Ooh, God help me. If I could work your secret place. One of your secret places is your calling. God help me. If I can get in my calling, that's my secret place. Because when I get in my calling, nothing shall come nigh me. God help me. The Most High shall abide. And he says, he who dwells in the secret place. There's so much to the secret place, but one of the things of the secret place is the calling. Everybody say my calling. He says, the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Meaning he, wherever you stand, you're in his shadow. That's how close he is to you. When you're walking in your calling, his shadow is on you. Watch what he says here. Verse 2, we're going to flow real quick, media. Verse 2, and he says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress. Ah, my God in whom I will trust. Verse 3, that's why I always tell people, listen, I try not to get in politics, but I don't care if it's Obama, I don't care if it's Trump, I don't care who it is. I don't depend on Capitol Hill for anything in my life. I need you to understand. Give me verse 2 again. Give me verse 2. Watch what it says here. He says, I will say, he is my God. In him will I trust. Stop trusting people on Capitol Hill. They're only human. They are politics. They are not God. They are not Jesus. They are not angels. They are politics. I don't trust in man. I trust in him. God help me. Verse 3. Watch what it says. Surely he, God, shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Y'all not saying that to me. He shall cover you with his wings. Come on, flow with me. He shall cover you with his wings. I'll read from my Bible because I feel something moving here. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Meaning God says, I'll cover you. He says, I got you right there. That's okay. Come on, somebody. That's all right. That's the glory in the house. That's glory right there. That's what he says. He says, somebody say, he made it rain. He made it rain. Amen. That's what he says. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall he take refuge. Watch what he says. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. This was note. They don't even know where this is. I don't have notes for this back there. He says, my truth. Watch what he says. He says, his truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Not the news. His truth. They have a truth, but we have a truth. God help me. They do have a truth. In most cases, they're telling you the truth. But we're not hanging on to their truth because their truth would scare the hell out of me. But when I hang on to his truth, it gives me peace. His truth. His truth that says, I'll keep you covered. His truth. God, help me.
that says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. His truth, not the news's truth, his truth is what I hold on to because I'm called and I'm in the secret place. God help me. This is nowhere. I'm just flowing here. Watch what it says here. He says you should not be afraid for the terror by night. Watch what God says. You should not be afraid when you're in that secret place with me. He says by the terror by night, nor the arrows that flies by day. God help me. He says there should be, you shall not be afraid of what other people are afraid of. Watch what he says, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that we've been hearing about every day, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. He says, here's why, because 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right side, but it shall not. It shall not come near you. It shall not. Yes, in Italy, it may have got them. Yes, in China, it may have ravaged them. We're praying for them, but I got a truth that 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right, but it shall not come nigh me. Oh, God. God says, you'll see, watch what he says. He says, watch it. You'll only see it with your eyes. Only with your eyes shall you look. He says, you'll see it with your eyes, but it ain't going to come nigh us. He says, because you're in that place with me and you're walking in my purpose and my calling, I got you covered. You'll see it under my wings. You'll see what's happening, but it won't come nigh you. God, I love it. I love it. Watch what he says. He says, only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. He said, there are evil people. He says, but I need you to understand that's not the reward of the people of God who are called. God help me. And we got people freaking out who are called. Somebody say, I'm called. Watch this. I'm just reading. He says, because you've made the Lord. He says, you've made me your God. You answered the call. He says, I called you, but when you answered it, he says, it's because what you did. You have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. God help me. Watch what he says. Verse 10, no evil shall befall you. Oh, God. He says, listen, only he said, you saw 1,000 at your side, at your right hand. He says, now I'm going to be redundant. He said, I already told you 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. He says, but in case you don't get it, let me make sure you hear it again. See, when I'm redundant, I get it from God. He says, no evil shall befall you. And he said, no plague, no disease shall come near your dwelling. God. If you have not been praying this over the last 2 weeks, I really believe your Christianum, something is wrong. Because this has been the prayer over my family every night before we go to bed, that no plague shall come nigh my dwelling. That virus is a plague that is ravaging the world, but I have a truth from heaven that no plague shall come near my dwelling. No plague shall come. I need you to stand to your feet and declare that over your family right now. I need every person, just start praying, just declare it, just speak it. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. I need every believer just to lift up your voice and cover your family, cover your home, cover your children, cover your job. I need you to declare, we are living in perilous times, but I need you to stand on the truth of every called person that no plague shall come nigh your children. No plague shall come nigh your home. No disease shall come nigh you. We declare from heaven wherever we go, we have diplomatic immunity, God. God, we speak to the disease right now. It shall not, God. It cannot, God. 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come nigh us, God. No plague shall come where we are. I need you to open your mouth like you need it today. I need you to open your mouth and declare it. I need you to speak to your children. I need you to speak to your grandparents. I need you to declare it over your parents. I need you to speak it out of your mouth. Come on, plague, give me something. I feel it. I feel it. We should be warring right now. Come on, come on, come on. I need voices right now. You got to declare in this time that we're living, where their truth is that it'll take over the globe in a month, but we got to turn the truth around, and we got to declare, no plague shall come nigh me. I'm the called of the Lord. I'm the called of the Lord with a purpose on my life. There shall be no plague. There shall be no disease. I have a promise from God. I'm the called of the Lord. And 1,000 may fall, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Come on, keep praying, church. Come on, pray for 10 more seconds. I dare you. Come on, pray for 10 more seconds. Pray for 10 more seconds. Come on, declare no plague. I need you to open your mouth. I need you to declare it. You shouldn't be looking at me. You should be declaring over your family right now, God, keep me covered. Father, if you kept them in Egypt, when the plague hit the land of Egypt, the blood covered them, and the plague did not come nigh the dwelling of your people. We declare it. We decree it. We are the called of God. We speak covering over our homes and family. God, no matter what happens on the news, no matter what happens in the world, we're standing on the promises, God. And we thank you that no plague shall come nigh our home. We decree it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and give God a big hand clap. Watch this.
Watch this.
Sit down, sit down, sit down. Because if you thought that was over, we're not. Watch this. I got to read through it. Here's the other part you got to understand. I'm still there. This is nowhere. Media knows. This is not in my notes. I'm just reading Bible. In their hands. Look what he says. He says, "None of your joy." Then he says, "For he shall give his angels charge over you." He said, "I will give angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." So whenever you go somewhere, when you use wisdom, but you still say, "I have to go places," he says, "I got angels who are bigger than any virus. I got angels who can't be contaminated. Come on. I got angels who are with you. They'll create social distance for you. I got angels who stand there, and the coronavirus cannot move your angels from you. You don't need to be quarantined from angels. But God says, I give angels to stand all around you in crazy times. Because God says, I give you angels." He's talking about people in that secret place. Part of that secret place is calling. He says, watch what he says, "And in their hands they shall bear you up." They won't even let you dash your foot upon a stone. He said, "You should step over every demonic thing. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample under your foot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore," God says, "I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he's known my name." God, that's good. He said, "I lift you above everything because you've known my name. He shall call upon me." Watch what he says. "He shall call upon me and I will answer him." God, if that don't make me just want to run. God says, "When you call me, I'll answer you." He says, "When you call me, I'll answer you." He says, "I'll be with you in trouble." See, I'm glad I have a God who's not with me when I'm good. He says, "I'm not just with you when it's good, I'm with you when there's trouble." Because most people can only hang with you when you got everything good in your life. But I got a God who says, "I'll stay with you in the good times and the bad times of your life." Because too many people are flaky and shaky. Come on, somebody. Too many people, when you hit trouble, they bail out on you. But baby, I got news for you. We got a God who will never leave you nor forsake you. It could be your fault. It could be your problem. But he says, "I'm going to keep my shadow right there with you. Other people may leave you, but I will never leave you when you're in trouble." Oh, God. See, this is why I wonder when we do things wrong, we feel like God has left us. You better read your Bible. He says, I will be with you in trouble. Whether it's your fault or not, or if the enemy comes upon you, I'm going to stand right there. He says, even when it looks bad and you went through something, I need you to know I'm still with you even though you can be in pain. I'm standing right there with you. And then he says, "I will deliver you." Oh, God. He says, "And when you're in the trouble, I'll deliver you out of the trouble." Do you notice that even if the trouble's your fault, he didn't put an exclamation mark. He didn't put a disclaimer on it. He just says, "Whatever trouble you're in, I'll get you out of it." I don't know if you ever created your own trouble. There's some trouble that comes my way that's not my fault, but I've done stuff, got myself in trouble. And God says, even though it's your fault, this is how good I am. I'm going to get you out of the trouble you put yourself in. Okay, I'm talking to a holy church. Some of y'all forgot the trouble you used to get yourself in. God, if you could just get me through this one more time, do not let this hit social media. Do not let anybody find out about it. Oh, I ain't talking to real people up in here. But God says, I'll go ahead and get you out one more time. I'm going to bail you out this situation. And how many know we do it again 6 months later? And God says, okay, you want some more bail money? I'll give you some more bail money. And I'll bail you out again. And God says, okay, I got you. And then we say, God, thank you. I'll never do it again. And how many of you know that you did it again, and you did it again, and you did it again? But every time he was there to bail you out, he bailed us out of stuff that we should not have been bailed out in. We serve a God that says, I'll deliver you, and I'll still bring honor to your name. I like this. And here it is. This is my shout. My children will tell you, they know this like it's nothing. I always declare this, and with long life. God says, after all that, here's what I'm going to do. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. God. He says, I'm going to give you long life. Hear what the Bible is saying. He says, I will give you long life. Why are we so afraid of dying? Everywhere we go, I'm not talking about before this virus, people are so bound in fear. You should walk with wisdom but confidence that I have a promise from God that he says, with long life will I satisfy him. Meaning, I'm going to give you a long and healthy life. And church, no matter what you go through, God says, you keep declaring the word over your life. In seasons and uncertain times, you declare the word over your life. And I'm talking to cold people right now that God is saying, I'll add years to your life. You're not hearing me. When the man Hezekiah, when he said, God told him, he told the man in the Bible, he sent someone to him, he said, listen, he says, tell him he's going to die. And the man turned, the Bible said, and he put his face to the wall, and he started praying. And by the time the prophet got to the parking lot, God stopped him and said, hey, go back in there and tell him, because he prayed, I'm going to add years to his life. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. God gave him a report, hey, you're about to die. God literally was going to take his life from the earth. The man brought him word and said, hey, man, you're about to die. He said, listen, you about to die. And he says, I'm about to die. Can you imagine somebody just came and said, hey, the Lord told me to tell you, you're about to die at midnight tonight. I mean, can you imagine if somebody just said, the Lord told me? I mean, if it was a prophetic person who ain't never missed it. I mean, they never missed it. And you're like, what? And he got this, and he said, listen, I heard that, but God, I need to holler at you. He said, Lord, you said you will satisfy me with long life. And God says, I heard the cry of my people. And God threw him more years and more years and more years. And come on, somebody. And we don't have a report that we're about to die. And I'm about to declare, God, add years to my life, God. Length of years, add hours, add days, add years. God, satisfy me with your scripture, God. With long life will you satisfy me? Because I am the called of the Lord. I need more purpose and see, when you walk in your calling, it releases so much in your life. And church, I came to break that spirit of fear off us this morning. Because you've got to understand, when you are the called of the Lord, that calling is so deep, God is going to keep you no matter what's happening. Somebody say, God's going to keep me. God's going to keep me. Oh, this is good. And you need to understand that with your calling, it gives God permission to put his wings around you. And the challenge is, you got to get in that secret place. Somebody say secret place. See, because when God calls, you got an answer. Watch this right here. I'm just going to give you one point, and we'll finish this next week. I'm just going to give you one. The Lord, media, you're going to have to jump with me. You're going to have to, don't put it up and get my other ones. You're going to have to. Here, I'm going to give you one right here. Give me point number two. Let's skip one and three. I just got time and I'm done right here. I'm going to give one point. Here's what you got to understand. Point two, and I'll give you guys time to fix it. When God calls, when you have it changed, go ahead and put it up. I just need point two up there. Because we literally, you guys, this was nowhere in preaching today. Psalms 91 was nowhere in sight. Amen. And we just preached the whole chapter. Come on, somebody. The whole chapter. But I need you to understand this. Here's the one thing about the call. Holy Spirit said, give them this one and be done. And I remember we're talking about evidence of your calling. I got to give you this one point. We'll finish this thing up next week. One of the ways you know you're in your calling, as I said with Seth, it makes you uncomfortable. Okay. You remember he says, let me give this to you. One of the ways you know you're in your calling is when you're uncomfortable. People who refuse to get uncomfortable are not ready for their calling. Because many times we think God calls us when we have everything wrong in our life. Most of the times people look for God to move when they're down and out. But God will call you when you're at your highest place sometimes with everything working great in your life. And he'll interrupt that to give you an opportunity to walk in something that may seem like a downgrade for where you're at. God. Watch this right here. When God calls you, he will call you at a time when it's an inconvenience to you. God does not call you when it's on your time. We seem like, God, let me walk in my calling. I'm down and out. Let me find purpose in the gutter and raise me up. Give me 1 Kings real quick. 1 Kings 19 and 20. One of the things you understand about your calling is it makes you uncomfortable in several different ways. And see, many Christians, we want to live with a comfortable God. We want a God who's make me comfortable. But he's a God who sometimes will get you uncomfortable. And in the uncomfort of life is where you a lot of times find your calling. When he called Elijah, watch what happened. It says, and he left the oxen. Remember, we looked at this last week. This was the call of Elijah. And it says, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah J. He's talking about Elijah S. And said, please let me kiss my father and my mother. Now, if you were here last week, we saw that Elijah came and called. This was the call of him. He threw his robe on him. He said, hey, come with me. I'm calling you. And he says to him, hey, hang on, before we go, please let me kiss my father and my mother. And then I will follow you. God help me. And he said to him, go back for what? For what I have done for you? Now watch what happens. Go on to the next verse. And he left. Give me next verse, please. Next verse, 21, please. Amen. So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. And boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. You notice that he came when he was focused on something else. And it was so much so that he said, hey, can I go back and finish? Can I go back and love on my family? You're coming at a rough time right now. And what I've discovered with God is when he calls you, it would be convenient when you're down and out. When everything is bad, because you might as well go with God. Come on. But many times I discovered is God will call you at the highest time when everything is good. Because God needs to know that you will be committed to this thing over anything else. It's easy to commit to the call when you don't have anything else but your call. But what about when the call calls you, but you have everything else going on great in your life? Can you make room for your call in your life? God help me. Because sometimes God doesn't like that. He says when the call comes, he literally lets you see, I need you to choose this or I need you to choose that. God help me. And sometimes when you see, God, I got a good job. I got a 401. I got consistent money. I got everything going good. And now you're telling me I need to sacrifice this to go to that. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, it's not Elijah, it's your boy. Because when God called me, I was at a job making good money. I had a consistent, everybody say consistent. Consistent paycheck. Great 401. God elevated me. I had hours I wanted. And it came a point when God says, hey, I need you to leave that. Do you want to understand how much wrestling I went with God? Because God said, listen, I know you see all this because I gave it to you. I'm the one that elevated you in the company, if you remember. I'm the one that gave you the great hours. I'm the one that got your 401. I'm the one that gave you the consistent paycheck. But I got a calling for you. And now the calling, went from that to a place of no consistent paycheck. Don't even know if it's going to work out. I got to put more into it than what I have over there. You're telling me, you're calling me to walk away from this for that. And Lady Brian will tell you, I was wrestling with God. I gave every excuse. God, I need to stay here, God, because if I stay here, I can make sure that's okay. And God says, nope, I'm calling you to leave that and go full time into this because I need you to trust me and not trust that. God, help me. And what happens is when I had to walk away from this, I was uncomfortable walking into that. God, help me. And every night, it took almost a week plus, and I wrestled with God. How do I quit a job I've been at for 12 years? I got everything invested. I had a plan, God. I am comfortable. Let me do this and let me do that. But God says, you are at a point where it's time to walk away from this so I can get you fully into that. God, help me. And I wrestled and I wrestled and I wrestled and I wrestled with God, because what God was saying is, because before I give you this, I need to know that you won't turn back for that. Oh, God. Because God says, if you can walk away from, because if I didn't have anything, I would have went to the call easy. Let's go get it, God. I ain't got nothing else. But God needed to see the heart was ready to do whatever, to sell out for the calling. God, help me. Because there's times whatever he's called you to do, he needs you to sell out for it. He needs to know that nothing's going to pull you out of what he's prepared for you. God, God, help me. And God, see, watch this right here, because Luke 2 and 7, one of my favorites, Christmas, really the story when Jesus, the Bible said, when he, Mary had him, and you remember the Bible said there was no room at the inn. And I love this because it always helps us to understand Luke 2 and 7, please. And it literally, when you see it, he talks about how when she was pregnant, she was looking for somewhere to have Jesus. And it says that she brought him forth her firstborn and wrapped him in what I call, and laid him in a manger, and there was no room for them. And I've preached this before, and it just comes back to me, is that I believe somebody missed their calling right here. Because God, why do you tell us in Scripture there's no room for him? What purpose does that serve us to know that there was no room for him? Because God wants us to know somebody had a call on their life to make room for him. Why didn't somebody say, there's Jesus, let him in, I'll give up my space for him? But everybody was comfortable in their rooms and they didn't want to make a sacrifice for God. And somebody's got to learn, if you're going to walk in your calling, you got to make room for Jesus. Even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's a sacrifice, even if you lose a comfortable bed, you got to say, I got to make room for my calling. God, help me. And the thing is, you got to make up your mind if you're going to make room for your calling. Because the one thing God needs to know, listen to me, is that you will stay the course. Because every time when you're walking in your calling, let me tell you something. If you don't have bipolar moments, you probably have not entered a fight for your calling. You have bipolar moments when God calls you. I'm telling you, every time there's a different lift of a call, I notice I have a bipolar season. Because I was literally with God, not just on that, but other things. But I remember God says, hey, either I need you to leave this for that. And when he called me, I was excited. And there's times I would run and say, God, I'm ready for this. And then something else would say, no, God, I can't do it. I want that. And every time I said this, then my calling would pull me back over here. And then my flesh would pull me back over there. And I say, God, I can't do this. And the calling says, you have to do this. I say, okay, I'm ready for the calling. And my flesh says, what about that money? And then I get over here, and I keep going all night. I'm going bipolar. One minute I love it, one minute I hate it. One minute I love it, one minute I hate it. One minute I want the calling, next minute I don't want the calling. Next minute I want the calling. Now one moment I don't want the calling. And I was doing this in front of my family. Come on, somebody. And my family's like, is he really called or not? Because one minute we're starting the ministry. No, we're gonna wait 3 more years. No, right now. Okay, which one is it? Because you have a wrestling going on. God is tugging. It's a wrestling. And God is saying, listen, the same way I wrestled with Jacob, I need to know you'll wrestle with me until you walk into your destiny. You'll wrestle with me until I bring you into your place. And when I bring you into your place, I will change you like I've never changed you before. Because if you're comfortable, you're not ready for a calling. If you're a Christian who needs to stay comfortable, you're not ready for the calling. Because the calling is going to make you uncomfortable. And see, you got to get this, church. We have so many people who need to stay comfortable. I can't do that. And what happens is God is waiting on you to make a decision. Because it is significant. Now, here's the tricky thing about the calling. Here it is right here. Here it is right here. The tricky thing about that calling and the uncomfortableness of it is there are stages to it. For me, when God called, stay with me. When he called me, God said, I need you to leave it. And it wasn't like leave it in a year. Leave it now. Leave it now. But there's another phase of the calling where God begins to reveal it to you, but it ain't time for you to go yet. This is what messes people up. For me, in that instance, God said, I need you to do it now. But sometimes God will begin to reveal the calling, but it's not time to leave the place. I just got to help you on this, and I'm done. Although it's uncomfortable, now it's more uncomfortable to stay and more comfortable to leave. Now you're uncomfortable, but God says, I'm revealing it to you, but this is not time for you to go. Because how many of you know that there was, you got to understand that every place you go, God uses experiences to help you in your calling. So although you called for one thing, how many know God will keep you here to get other things, learn them before he takes you there? He's revealing it to you now, but he's saying, listen, I revealed it to you, but I'm keeping you here for a season. And you're sitting there like, God, why can't I not go right now? Now I'm uncomfortable in where I want to be, where I'm at, because I want to be in my calling. Why would you even reveal it to me then? Because God needs to know, are you disciplined enough to stay where you don't want to stay? Because there's times when I get you here, it's going to be so bad, you're not going to want to stay. So God says, I'm going to use this moment to teach you how to stay in something, because when this gets rough, I need to know you can commit when I tell you to commit. God, I'm teaching good. Because how many know that whenever you call, there's certain things you need for your calling? And God uses where you're at to teach you other things that are attributes for what you're called to do. And so God will keep you somewhere, and while you're there, you're not there to moan or complain. You're there to learn everything you can learn and to get everything you can get, because God is just placing, downloading. Because when you get there, you're going to need stuff that you've been through to help you what you're called to do. I didn't just need to know how to preach. I need to know how to manage. Come on. I didn't just need to know how to lay hands on people. I need to learn how to organize. So God kept me in places in leadership and organizations and company. And God was saying, I need you to get stuff, because when you get to your calling, you're going to need all that to be successful. So the question becomes, how do I know when to stay? And how do I know when to go? And if we go to 1 Samuel, this is why this scripture was so important. 1 Samuel 3, chapter 3, verse 4. It says this, and the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. Verse 5. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Go lie down again. And he went and laid down. We remember this. The Bible said God called, but he ran to Eli. God's calling him, but he thinks it's somebody else. He says, go lay down. Verse 6. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you call me. He answered, I did not call. My son, lie down again. He hears a call, but he's in the house with somebody, so he runs to him. Verse 7, and he says this to him. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Verse 8, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am. I can just imagine, man, what are you doing? For you did not call me, he says, here I am, for you did call me. Then I perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Verse 9. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go lie down. It shall be, if he calls you, that you must speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Let me get you, the Lord began to reveal to me why this is in the text. Because if you read this, God called him, but he didn't use him right then. He never used him. He called him. If you read on, the Bible says when he became fully grown, then God used him. He was a young boy. He stayed serving Eli at this time. And God said, the reason what he knew to stay, I revealed the call, but I needed him to learn my voice. That's why he says, my sheep You got about five Bible readers in this crowd. He says, listen, my sheep know my voice. So, well, Pastor, how do I know when to go? How do I know when to stay? Eli got called, but he had to stay. And how did he know? It's because God began to reveal to us he knew his voice. That's why he shows us over and over he was learning his voice. Because if he would have left at that moment, he would have missed everything. But God says, I revealed it to you. Now I need you to be disciplined enough to follow my voice. So how do I know when to go when I'm uncomfortable staying and then I'm also uncomfortable leaving? Is you got to know his voice. Because if you don't know his voice, you can't live in your calling. Stand to your feet. We got to go. I need you to catch this. The Bible literally says, my sheep know my voice. Those who are called should know the voice of their God. And what I'm trying to tell someone is you've got to begin to grow in the things of God. In your calling, your purpose, but it's predicated on learning the voice of God. I know everybody in here knows Beyonce's voice. To the left, to the left. Everything you own, everybody can sing it. That's Beyonce. You put on any voice, everybody knows it. But if God is calling, or we like Samuel running to other people, is that your voice? God had to keep calling him because it came an exercise to learn his voice so he would not miss his calling. So what God is saying is before you can go further in your calling, it is almost a prerequisite that you learn the voice of God. Because it is a discipline. And church, like never before, the one who created you and called you, he put a mechanism in you, in that creation, that you will know his voice. That's why he says, my sheep, my called, my chosen, my royal priesthood, my nation should know my voice. And it is an exercise. It didn't. Samuel didn't get it once. The first time, he didn't get it the second time. He didn't get it the third time. It took time for him to get it. And when you begin to understand your calling, you're going to depend on the voice of God when you're uncomfortable. Do I stay or do I go? Because the worst thing you can do is have premature exposure to leave something when you weren't supposed to leave, although it was revealed. If a baby ever leaves the womb before a baby's supposed to leave the womb, it's called a preemie, meaning the baby has premature exposure. And premature exposure to your calling can be dangerous. It can be dangerous. And there are people who stepped out into something they're called at the wrong time. And you got to be in sync with the voice of God. And when you step into that calling, you're built for everything you're about to go through. The worst thing you can have is premature exposure to the place you're supposed to be. Because before you get there, there's some things God needs you to know. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the words of heaven today, God. Father, heaven has derailed my sermon this morning. But God, I believe we're right on track for what you wanted your people to hear. That God, you have called your people to the greatest time of their life. God, we need to walk in our calling like never before. God, in this groundbreaking year, we're seeing groundbreaking things in the world. But we thank you, we have a groundbreaking God that will give us a groundbreaking anointing to walk in our greatest calling. So, Father, I pray for your people this morning that they begin to learn your voice, that your people, your sheep that are in here, God. God, I pray over the next few weeks that, God, they'll begin to hear and know the voice and the tugging of heaven. When that inner pull comes, when that inner voice comes, and they hear it, God, they'll know it's you. And so, Father, I just pray right now that we begin to understand that calling is so important. It will change our lives. It'll change our destiny. God, I pray for every man, woman of God in this place that they walk in their divine calling. I pray this is the year, oh God, that whether the calling is shifting to a different calling, that they will walk in it. And we will see the goodness of our God in the land of the living. And I thank you for it today. Every eye closed, every head bowed.